That's a biggie-sized worship band this morning. Wendy's would be proud. They don't even do biggie size anymore. At Christ Church, we've been talking the last several weeks about the risks of following after Christ. The risk of believing is our topic this morning. We've talked about the risk of prayer, the risk of this book, this Bible that I hold in my hand, and reading it and believing it, the risk of faith, the risk of living in community and loving others. And this morning, the risk of believing. This message that we've been singing, that we've been proclaiming with our voices, that Christ walked out of the tomb. What's the risk associated with taking that seriously, with believing that? If you have your copy of the scriptures, I'm going to read to you out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. So you can turn there with me, Matthew 28. Before I read this passage, would you pray with me? Father, indeed, we thank you for the record here in Matthew's Gospel and the other Gospels, across the Scriptures, cover to cover, that your redemptive plan was for Jesus to die for our sins and then to conquer death, to be resurrected from the dead. We thank you for Jesus' words telling his disciples this must happen, that the Son of Man would go to Jerusalem, that he would be crucified, that he would die, but that the grave would not hold him. And Father, we thank you for this text as we go this morning with these women to the tomb, looking for the one we call Jesus. As we read this word, would you speak to our hearts, Father? May the words of my mouth and the consideration of our hearts please you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." And so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." You know, the setting is one we're familiar with. It's a story we've heard over and over. We've especially celebrated it on Easter Sundays. It was the morning of that first day of the week. It was that Sunday morning. The Sabbath had passed, and Mary Magdalene and Mary, Jesus' mother, went to the tomb intending, Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 tells us, to anoint the body, the dead body of Jesus, with spices. Essentially, that generation, that time, that era's method of embalming a body, prepare it with spices, wrap it tight. They're on their way to the tomb to do this. And we also know from Mark's Gospel that as they're on their way to the tomb, they're discussing with one another this big stone. If you look back into chapter 27 here in Matthew, you see that these women were there when they put Jesus' body in the tomb and a big stone was rolled across the tomb to seal it. And so as they're on their way, Mark's Gospel tells us that they're talking with one another. Who's going to move that stone for us? How are we going to get in and care for this body because this big stone is in front of the entrance to the tomb? So that is on their mind. Mark's Gospel says that as they got close, as they arrived, they looked and were astounded that the stone was out of the way. Matthew tells us what happened. God sent an angel. The angel opened that tomb, rolled the stone away. The angel appeared kind of impressive. Those Roman soldiers, those fearless, courageous, bloodthirsty soldiers of reputation, says they shook and fell like dead men. And the angel sat down on the stone. And here came the ladies to the tomb. As you allow that scene to kind of settle in, I want you to try to use your sanctified imagination. Put yourself, if you can, in the place of those women on their way to a tomb. I dare say most of us, have had that experience of going to a cemetery, going to a graveyard, going to a tomb. And if you have, you know how it's kind of an emotional situation, but it's also kind of strange. Because you're approaching the place where the body of your departed loved one has been deposited. You know that they're not there, but that's where their flesh suit was put in the ground. And you get there, and it's a strange sensation. Many people actually speak to the departed loved one, kind of like, this is as close as I can get. And so that dialogue starts to happen. It's, you know, can you put yourself there? These women are on their way to the tomb, and that is what is in their head. We've just lost Jesus. Mary, I've just lost my son. Mary Magdalene, I've lost the Savior who treated me like no one else has treated me and delivered me from so much. And they're on their way to a tomb. And they're worried about the stone that's in the way, and they're going to care for the body. And if you can put yourself there in your imagination, then imagine the shock that the tomb is open. You walk into the cemetery, and the tomb is open. I want to do something a little different this morning. You know, we've looked at this text on Easter Sundays in the past, this and in the other Gospels, and we've looked at resurrection passages in 1 Corinthians 15. We're always in a hurry to get there. We're always in a hurry to get to that He is risen part. We're always in a hurry to get to where Jesus appears, where people see Him. Acts tells us more than 500 people saw Him, many of whom were martyred for their testimony that they'd seen the resurrected Christ. We're always in a hurry to get there. But this morning, I'd like to just stop and look back at some of these details in the very beginning of this story. I would love for this stone that got rolled away to testify to us. I would like this angel who showed up to testify to us. Think about that stone. That stone was set to seal Jesus in a tomb. That stone was set to close the door on the chapter that was Jesus. That door is closed. It's a door closed on death. But the stone rolled away testifies to us that now death doesn't hold us. Do you see how the angel actually says to the women, go ahead and look inside. You can go in. And the better news is you can come back out. This stone testifies to believers about a change that has taken place where death is concerned. Death no longer holds us. It's been rolled aside. And it also testifies to us at the foundation of this resurrection doctrine. This stone is the foundation. They sealed with a stone, then Pilate put his seal on it, then they put Roman guards around it. And the foundation is that stone was moved and that Jesus wasn't in the tomb. Jesus walked out. And the stone testifies to us as a great divider. What do we do with that fact? Can you imagine the scene? The stone is over here, the angel's sitting on it. On one side, the women approach, and they're looking in the tomb. On the other side, a bunch of Roman soldiers out cold. That stone's a big divider, isn't it? You know, we approach the tomb with fear. The women are fearful. What is this that's going on? But on one side of this stone, there are those who glimpse into death and know that they can walk out. And on the other side are the guys who are like dead men because this truth is too much for them. And the angel. I absolutely love the fact that the angel does more without words than the angel does with words. Did you notice in verses 2 through 4, when Matthew described what happened, he said there was a violent earthquake, angel came down, angel looked all bright and like fire and all this kind of stuff, and then the soldiers fell down like dead men. You notice the angel didn't say a word to them? He just showed up. I had a dad like that, you know? He'd walk in the room and shoot me that look with the vein on his forehead. He didn't need to say a word. His presence spoke volumes. This angel shows up, and these soldiers fall out like dead men. This angel testifies, God did something here. And I love the fact that he rolls the stone, and then he sits on it. I mean, again, maybe my imagination is more graphic than yours, but talk about bullying. The soldiers are as dead men, and the angel's sitting on the stone. Like, I dare you to get up and knock me off. Isn't that beautiful? The testimony. God is doing something here. And then the angel speaks. And the first words out of the angel's mouth, as we see time and time again in Scripture, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. These women approach the tomb. They are afraid. This is death. And they see something that's completely out of the ordinary. This tomb is open. Don't be afraid. Words of comfort. One side of the stone, those guys out cold. The other side of the stone, words of comfort. Don't be afraid. I have a dear friend in this congregation. When I met her, she was afraid to talk about death. And now she serves the Lord with her life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then he says, for I know. Don't be afraid, for I know. And again, we rush past these words. We want to get to that resurrection part. He's risen. He's not here. That's where we want to go. Don't miss the words, I know. God knows the situation within your heart, and it's unique. It's entirely unique. I don't know it. The person sitting next to you doesn't know it. I got an email last night from a friend of mine who lost her daughter a year and a half ago to murder. And she wrote me an email on the eve of Easter telling me that the emptiness she feels today is the very same as the moment she got the telephone call 18 months ago. And I had to confess, I don't know her pain. It's her pain. It's unique. I can't climb inside that. I know pain in my life. It's unique to me. But I don't know hers. But how about this word from God? Don't be afraid. I know. How tremendously comforting would that word be? That God knows. And specifically of these women. He knows that they've come looking for Jesus. They've come to find him where he was. They've come to find him where they expected him to be. And the good news is he's not there. But look at the way he says it. Don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. And I'd suggest that that's the greatest testimony of this entire story. That Jesus was crucified. Just as Jesse shared that meditation with us about the death of our Savior. He was crucified. Best news of all, because that crucifixion heals me. That crucifixion remedies me. This is the message that we celebrate. And there's a tremendous risk associated with it, because if you believe it, it'll change your life. He invites these ladies, take a look, see for yourself, and now go and tell the other disciples. that Jesus is going ahead of them into Galilee. There's a risk associated with it. If you come to believe this truth, this resurrection truth, it will change your life. Death, where is your sting? In this congregation, we've experienced death together. In this very room, we've had some of the most moving funerals and memorial services that I've ever experienced. We've shared death, haven't we? And we've reminded one another that death doesn't have the last word. And what about this I know? In this congregation, we've experienced an awful lot of this together, haven't we? Knowing, God's knowing, our unique hurts, our unique sufferings, our unique problem, and His ministering to it. In this body, we've suffered with addictions together, haven't we? In this body, we've suffered through brokenness together, haven't we? In this body, we've shed tears together, haven't we? In this body, we've blown off confetti cannons together, haven't we? The risk of believing in this resurrection is it'll change everything. It'll change everything. And that threshold I mentioned, the stone, it's the great divider. Which side of the stone are you on? Are you on the side where those words of comfort are spoken? Death no longer has a hold. Or are you on the side that's fearful and trembling on the ground? Are you on the side that's fallen and can't get up? And the risk of this resurrection truth is it forces us to make a decision. Either what this preacher's talking about is a bunch of hooey, or it's something that I ought to look into. And what of the testimony? His disciples, 500 or more of them, many of whom went to their death for this truth, that they'd seen the resurrected Savior. If you believe it, it changes everything. That's the risk. Would you pray with me? So, Father, what of this? Would you speak to our hearts? Is this some grand rumor that survived thousands of years? Was this some kind of a hoax? Or is it as Jesus said, that the Son of Man must suffer and die for our sins, but would be raised from the grave, that resurrection power would adorn our lives as His followers? Father, we do look forward with great hope, great anticipation. Death does not have the last word. We also celebrate that you know our hearts, our deepest needs and hurts. And Father, we cry out to you. We need you. Even in this body this morning, as we've assembled, there are many needs. There are physical needs, needs for healing, pain that has gone on for years. Father, would you show yourself strong in the midst of that pain? There are relationships that need healing, relationships that are on the brink. Father, we've seen you do the miraculous, and we'd pray for the miraculous. Would you intervene? Would you soften hearts? Would you resurrect? Father, there are situations too great to number, all unique. We're cheered that you know. Would you touch our hearts in the specific ways that you see fit? Father, there are even things that are quiet upon our hearts that we haven't shared with anybody. Thank you, Father, that you know us, you love us. Would you minister your care to us as you see fit? Father, challenge us with this risk, the risk of believing. It changes everything. It has changed everything. We give you thanks and we celebrate a risen Savior, Jesus who died and rose again that we might rise with him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.